You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have a great conversation today with Tom Manzo, the CEO of Timely, one of the manufacturers in California. And on the way up to the show today, Tom was pointing out to me the frame, the door frames that Timely has created that are in this building. So welcome, Timely. Welcome, Tom, to the show.
Thank you, Will. Thank you for having me on the show today.
So tell us about Timely.
Timely Industries, we're a manufacturer when we manufacture pre-finished steel door frames. Timely's been in business since 1971. We have approximately 200 employees, 52 immediate family members, 26 extended family members. We have some employees that have been with us for as long as 37 years, and the average is about 25 years.
Wow. So you've been a very successful company in California.
Yes, we've had some difficult times, you know, in the economy, the construction and the housing hit. It set us back quite a ways, but we were able to rebuild and we're as strong as ever.
Well, good. So now you recently had an unfortunate experience. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, you know, many times business owners, business managers, people are focused in on growing the business. You know, that's their primary objective and duty. How do we grow it? How do we nurture it? How do we get it bigger and build it? And you don't pay attention to a lot of things that are happening. And when I say that, I'm talking about California's labor laws. And what ended up happening is Timely's always had a flexible schedule. Employees could come in at 5, 5:30, 6, 7, 8. And a lot of the family members all wanted to eat lunch together. So we had a lot of employees that took their lunch later than 5 hours. And we also had a safety incentive, you know, just to keep people safe. Every Wednesday, we all wear T-shirts for Timely and stay safe. And we have quarterly lunches, and we have raffles and prizes. It's very important to us, and everyone wants to go home to their family. And we're proud of that. But, you know, again, unfortunately, a miscalculation ended up costing us a lot of money. They have what is called the Private Attorney General Act, referred to as PAGA. And what ends up happening is a disgruntled employee can seek an attorney. The attorney right away will say, "Let me see your paycheck." And they will look at it. Well, what's this for? What time do you punch out? You know, what time is your lunch? What time is your breaks? You know, what's the policy of rounding up and rounding down? And once you get into the trap of a PAGA lawsuit, it's very, very expensive. To put it into perspective, for Timely, it cost us $1 million.
Right. And that comes right out of the bottom line.
Right out of the bottom line. And that could have been spent on, you know, employee raises. It could have been spent on future projects. It could have been spent on a number of things, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of that money ends up going to the state. It goes to the attorneys, and the employees get very little.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about what that how that came about.
So in 2004, they passed a law, the Private Attorney General Act, and what it is if there's labor law violations, an employee could go to an attorney, and the attorney becomes the person that is responsible to enforce the labor law, because the labor department did not have enough employees to enforce labor law violations. And when they do that, the PAGA allows them to form a class a lot easier than a regular class action lawsuit. So that employee then can represent all of the employees, whether they want to be represented or not.
Mm.
To put things in perspective, if you take a look at the recent Uber case, because they were misclassifying their employees as independent contractors, turns out that they're not, and that's still a debate. But each of the drivers got $1.08 each. That was their take on this lawsuit. The attorneys got $2.5 million. The people that cut the checks for the attorneys got $750,000. And the state got $3.6 million. So the law is not protecting the employees. it is just filling the pockets of the attorneys.
So what Timely was vulnerable, I mean, you didn't follow the law.
We didn't follow the law, and it's something.
And it wasn't bad intention.
Not bad intention.
It was, dare I say, it was just not knowing it. You didn't know that.
It's not knowing it, but it's a lot of the labor law digest, and again, California's labor law digest is 1,060 pages. Not everybody's going to understand it.
Right.
And it doesn't always work in every application. A lot of businesses out there, you know, people like to start early, and if they start early, they don't necessarily want to take their lunch at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of companies that like to say, hey, if I skip a break, can I go home early? Can I do this because I want to go see my kid's ball game? And this flexibility is really taken out of the equation. And I think companies know what's best a lot of times for its employees, especially smaller to medium-sized companies. And I think so many times people are just put into this group of, if it's a business, it's like a giant billion-dollar corporation, and most of them are not.
Right, right. Well, the overwhelming number of companies in America are small companies, right?
Correct.
And so what... in part, what do you see? I guess the question is what do you see the answer to this? I mean, what did you learn from this experience?
Well, you know, I learned a great deal. First off, I realized, you know, I spent 100% of my time trying to do what I thought was right, and I missed one, and I feel bad about that because, it cost the company $1 million. A lot of people refer to it as the $1 million education. And what I did is I ended up reaching out to a lot of our local political leaders, a lot of local business leaders, and most people didn't even know what a PAGA lawsuit was. Mm. The only ones that did know was the ones that were hit with a PAGA lawsuit. You know, and I reached out to a lot of trade groups, and unfortunately, some of those are a little bit more political, and they don't understand, you know, these labor laws and what's going on. So I decided to form our own trade organization, the California Business and Industrial Alliance, and we decided that we are going to focus on labor law reform because sometimes what's good for certain people isn't good for others, and you cannot have a one-size-fits-all when it comes to the state of California. I mean, think about all the different industries, everything that's out there. You know, I think in today's day and age with technology and the way it is, businesses need to have a little bit more freedom. And the more they're constricted, the more businesses are going to not be able to survive.
So, how do you understand how the PAGA law came to be? Was this something that businesses requested, or labor requested?
No. I believe labor was actually behind it, and this was something that Gray Davis had passed. Apparently on his way out. And, you know, maybe at the time, I think sometimes laws are passed with great intention, mm-hmm. But they're very, very complicated. That's the one thing I realized when I looked at that. And what the California Business and Industrial Alliance did is we got together with a gentleman named Rich Fry from Epstein Becker Green, and we put together a group of attorneys from other employment law firms and said, can you work with me? Can we all work together and try to write some legislation that makes sense? And again, a lot of the legislation in the labor law arena, it's very complicated. And I think most of the time, the only ones that understand are the attorneys. Mm-hmm. And it puts all business owners, all businesses, all sizes at a disadvantage.
So the disadvantage then could be seen as I don't understand it.
Correct.
And so having a clear understanding of what the labor law is might lead to people complying with it in ways that they hadn't thought about doing before.
Correct.
Or it might lead to conversations about how do we change this, how do we reform this,
right,
to make this truly fit the needs of labor.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, we've hired a lobbyist up in Sacramento, and we've started the negotiations with labor, the DIR, the governor's office. You know, we're trying to put a bill together this year. But you're absolutely right. The discussions need to start. I reached out to the state and I said, hey, this law started in 2004, and I would like to get all the data on it. I'd like all the information, all the suits, everything. And they said, well, Tom, this is going to cost money. And I said, that's fine. I'll pay it out of my own pocket. You just tell me how much it is. They finally got back about 3 weeks later, and they said, okay, it's $2,300. We only have information from September of 2016 through September of 2017 when I requested it. So I said, well, what happened to the other 12 years? We didn't keep track of it. Mm. So the state actually passes a law that the attorneys are allowed to enforce labor law violations and did not keep track of it for 12 years. So, Will, you're absolutely right. Discussion needs to start with all parties. You know, maybe we're trying to pass too many laws. I mean, this year, just labor laws. I'm only talking about labor laws. That's what our focus is going to be. There's 42 that could be on the books. And when you go to understanding, you know, the labor laws, just to give you an example, if you're in the movie industry and you work past midnight, you're required to have a warm meal. Not just a meal, a lunch break. It has to be warm. If you have a business and your restroom is colder than 68 degrees, that's a labor law violation. How many people are going to be aware of that? If that were to happen, that disgruntled employee could say, hey, the bathroom was 65 degrees, go to see an attorney. That's a labor law violation, could turn into a PAGA lawsuit, could turn into a class action lawsuit, which ends up going back 4 years.
Well, so help me to understand, what's the dynamics of a business owner operating in California? How do they come to understand what these laws are?
I think business owners and the goal of our group, and we call it CABIA for the California Business and Industrial Alliance, the goal of our group is to be the voice of the business owners focusing on labor law reform. And the reason I say that is because I think most business owners just are not aware of these laws. They focus on their business, growing their business, and they do need to spend a little bit more time focusing on the laws that are being passed.
Well, not to make it personal, but the $1 million that you spent, if you could roll the movie back and somebody said to you, I'm willing to work for you to be a full-time expert in labor law, would you have spent a portion of that $1 million on putting them on?
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now.
Yeah. Oh, it probably would have saved us a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, as I talk to more and more members of our organization, and I talk to more and more people that have been affected by a PAGA lawsuit, there are some very large companies who have been hit that has HR experts. They have in-house legal counsel. I have one example for you. There's a company up in Sacramento, and their paycheck stub had the wrong employer identification number.
Mm.
Okay, so the badge number that they would punch their time card with and the check were different. It turned into a class action lawsuit. No harm, no foul. But it's going to cost that company probably $1 million.
So this would be a place where there needs to be a conversation, some reform.
And it can't be the issue, and I tell everybody over and over again, we have to get away from the whole politicalness. You know, this isn't a Democratic problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's a California issue. It's a California business issue. And the ones that are really taking advantage of everybody are a lot of the trial attorneys. This is no different than the ambulance chasers. This is no different. And somebody needs to draw a line in the sand, and I did not see anybody willing to do that. And that's why I said, this is it. It's time to make changes and do what's best for California.
And to me, that suggests that it's not Sacramento doing this to us. This is us allowing that to happen to us.
Correct.
And it's being aware of this means that businesses take responsibility for participating in the conversation.
Correct. And again, you know, I go back and I look at everything. I've never got engaged, you know, over the last 10 years on what laws were passed, how many laws were passed, what the effect would be to it. I've looked at a lot of other trade organizations. A lot of them refer to it, well, that's a job killer. Well, that's a job killer. Well, calling it a job killer and then actually doing something about it are two different things. And exactly what we talked about earlier, Will, before the show started, is the conversation needs to start. We need to be willing to say, let's sit down and talk with labor. You know, unions are going to be a part of California forever. Mm-hmm. They're here to stay. Let's at least have the dialogue together. The only issues that I do have is if you have a collective bargaining agreement, you're allowed to take lunches late. You're allowed to work without taking lunch. You're allowed to work without taking breaks. It's a fact, you know. And I don't understand how labor can have such an influence on a labor law digest that they don't have to follow. 15% of the workforce is unionized. Half of that would be federal and state workers. So you got 7%. Kind of telling the other 93% what to do. I don't see that as being fair either.
And it seems to me that what I discovered, like I was mentioning to you, what I discovered in the last election was that it was time for us to wake up. That there were enormous numbers of people who believed they weren't being heard. And that's what I'm hearing from you now is that there are a large number of small business owners in California, and I'm not convinced that it's not that they have not been heard. It may be that they have not been in conversations where their words are effective.
Correct, and I would agree with that. And again, we need to really look at a lot of the laws that are in the book, and instead of adding to them, you know, let's start reforming them so they're a little bit simpler, a little bit less complicated. Because the more complicated they are, the more you're going to open yourself up to lawsuits, frivolous type lawsuits.
Well, right. And now, I'm assuming that the intention of the lawmakers in passing these was to provide a better working environment for the employees.
I would agree with that. But I think, again, if it's not analyzed well enough, laws could be being passed that could end up hurting the employees, which you're trying to protect.
And part of that then becomes a place for, I don't know how you really talk about it, what you say, but it becomes that company becomes vulnerable to a disgruntled employee, and it really doesn't wind up helping the employees. Because presumably, in many cases, the employees were happy with the way that it was working.
Correct.
Right? In your case, specifically.
Correct.
It seems to me that there's a place for education, there's a place for conversation, and there's a place for reforming and producing laws that will enable all stakeholders to benefit and to observe the laws.
So when I ended up reaching out to the state and I got the list of everybody that had been sued, in 1 year it was over 8,000 companies.
Mm.
And the 8,000 companies, which really shocked me the most, were a lot of nonprofit organizations that help people. And I'm talking Salvation Army, Goodwill Industries, San Diego Humane Society, Children's Home. How do folks like that get hit with a PAGA lawsuit? What attorneys would take on a children's home that has a total of two houses and help out youth between 13 and 17 and a half? What type of person would do that? And unfortunately, our laws are allowing attorneys to do that, and, mm-hmm. and we need to stop it. And the bigger companies, you know, Apple's on the list, Google's on the list, Amazon's on the list. We ran a full-page ad, and we told Amazon, don't come to California because of PAGA lawsuits. And everybody was like, wow, I can't believe that. You know, everybody wants Amazon here. What are you trying to do, Tom? We're trying to raise awareness. Mm-hmm. The Amazon fulfillment centers in 1 year, 17 of them were hit with PAGA lawsuits. Mm. So they've got people that are going and delivering and things like that. You know, think about, you're in traffic. It comes to the fifth hour. What are you supposed to do? Pull over on the 405 and eat your lunch? I mean, some things just are not realistic. And the flexibility is what makes this country great. The hard work, the hours, and putting in the time, that's how you grow, that's how you develop. And employers now are afraid of things like, if you work past 10 hours, if you have an employee that works past 10 hours, they have to take a lunch. They can waive the lunch. How often do they got to waive the lunch? Once a week? Once a day? If they work past 10 hours, you got to give them a third break. You know, how many employers know that? Hey, we're really busy this week. We could use some help. Guy wants to work 10 and a half, 11 hours. He doesn't want to take his lunch. He doesn't want to take a break. He just wants to get the job done and get out of there.
A lot of good questions. Can you stick around for a little bit, and we go in a little bit deeper detail into how and what we can do to change this?
I'd love to have the opportunity.
We'll be right back after a short break. Thank you. Hear from our sponsors.
Wow, very powerful. Hi, time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. Prospects want your information and expertise. Prospects have been trained by the vast majority of salespeople to feel entitled to your valuable information. Most salespeople are comfortable in coughing up their expertise for free. However, when the orders don't come and the prospect has shopped your information to your competitor, the salesperson has fallen victim to unpaid consulting. Before giving information, ask good questions. What does the prospect want? What is the urgency? What are the consequences of not buying anything? What is the decision-making process? Eliminate unpaid consulting. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
Well, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405, where we're talking to Tom Manzo, president of Timely, and also the founder and president of the California Business and Industrial Alliance. So, Tom, a question for you. How is it possible for a company like Apple or Amazon to have a PAGA lawsuit 17 different times? Wouldn't they learn from it?
Well, they have different locations. And you know, a lot of the bigger companies, they have multiple locations. And a lot of times you have multiple HR people. And again, all it takes is one bad apple, and it creates a problem for everybody.
Well, it's that vulnerability that a company has that if they, and I mean, I'm saying if they haven't followed the letter of the law, then they are vulnerable. And maybe what you're talking about is bringing the details of those laws to the surface so that we have something to look at and become aware
absolutely.
Of, and then to begin to talk about how we reform them.
Sure. I'll give you just one other example. There is a very popular restaurant in the Pasadena area. I don't want to name it. And they were complying. They did everything. They complied on everything. And a gal was there, and she was taking her lunch, eating her lunch, and a customer happened to walk by. He was lost and couldn't find the bathroom. So he asked her, which way is the restroom, ma'am? And she says, it's this way. Well, I don't know. Down the road, she ended up leaving, went and seen an attorney. And what ended up happening was her lunches were interrupted. So because she had an interrupted lunch, what happens is the establishment would owe her 1 hour's worth of lunch. Then you have penalties because the paycheck becomes inaccurate. The first check is $100 penalty. The second one is $200 penalty. And then when that employee leaves, is no longer there, since their final paycheck was inaccurate, the company owes that employee 30 days of pay. So before you know it, these lawsuits spiral out of control quickly. And majority of them are all settled in mediation. Nobody wants to go to trial with these because they know it's a loser.
So what do you suggest is a solution?
Well, right now what we want to do is we want to approach all the businesses. We want to educate them. We want them to know these are the things that you need to avoid. So all of our meetings so far, we've had an attorney present where they run through a PowerPoint and say, watch these things on your paycheck stub, watch these other things. If anybody wants to ask a question, they can ask us. We're also trying to educate through the media, radio stations like yours, thank you very much, ads, op-eds. We also are doing that with our lobbyist up in Sacramento, you know, who's trying to educate a lot of our local politicians, our local leaders.
So what would be helpful to you in Orange County, approaching and educating businesses? Is this something that businesses are interested in?
Well, I think a lot of times they don't understand it, and they're not as worried about it. And if we go to some of the smaller businesses, what ends up happening is they just don't have the time to do it. But I'm encouraging all business owners, take the time. We all need to get together. We all need a single voice, and we need to start the dialogue with our legislators. It has to be done. I've had a guy call me that has a small trucking company. He has 5 employees, and he's in the middle of a wage and hour lawsuit because he had no way to prove that his employees took their lunch. They didn't have a time clock in the semis. They didn't have a way of punching in and punching out. You think about all the drivers, all the semi drivers, and they're standing in line. It could be a 2-hour wait until they actually unload. Are they supposed to stop and take their lunch? There has to be exceptions to the rule. And labor shouldn't be the only one that has those exceptions to the rule.
Well, it sounds to me like there's one part is the conversation with representatives from labor, from business, legal profession, and politicians to attempt to have a law that addresses the needs of all the stakeholders.
Correct.
Other than perhaps the attorney who's trying to maximize his earnings.
Correct.
All right. So the conversation for reform is one. What about education? How do we approach for instance, if we could roll the movie back, how would we have spoken with the trucker who owns the company with 5 employees? What would we have said to him?
We need to reach out to them, and we need to say, hey, these are the pitfalls. This is what you got to watch out for. You know, we deal with some landscaping companies. They're members. You know, they're out there mowing lawns. How are they supposed to keep track of it? Well, there's apps you can use on their phone. There's ways of calling in and making sure that they punch in and punch out. They take their breaks. They take their lunch. It's a difficult task. And we need to educate. We need to educate the employers. I've been going as many places as I can go. I'm scheduled to go to Fresno. We had a meeting in Irvine. We've been to Sacramento.
Are you meeting with in Irvine, for instance?
We actually Kimco Staffing. Mm-hmm. They're a member, mm-hmm. And they were so gracious to allow us to use their conference room, and we had some members come by and potential new members, and again, we went through the education process.
How many members do you have now?
We're close to 100, and we're less than 1 year old.
And so if there were a conference room, how big do you want?
30, 40 people, all 50, right. As many that would want to come.
Let's suppose you had a conference room that could put 40 people in it. What
Correct.
Would you do?
Well, the first thing we would do is we would have our attorneys present what you need to watch out for and educate them on PAGA if they haven't been hit with it, mm-hmm. What they need to adjust and change immediately to avoid the bleeding from that side of things.
So who would be your target market to come to this meeting?
Any type of business owners, human resources, professionals, operations managers, you know, presidents, vice presidents, CEOs. anybody that's a stakeholder within a company.
All right. So let's suppose you had the room available. How much time do you have these meetings?
Our meetings usually last a couple hours, two and a half hours.
All right. So you have 3 hours. And your target market is anyone having a business, like 10 to 250 employees?
Yeah, anybody.
Right. And how would you suggest that we attract businesses to come together?
Well, we did one in Bakersfield just a little bit ago. And in Bakersfield, we had probably 30-some people. And unfortunately, half of them were victims of PAGA. So a lot of people that are victims of the PAGA lawsuits are looking for some real change because a lot of bills, a lot of things have failed. But I think part of that is because you need to sit down and talk to all the parties, and then we can go from there. Let's see how this all works out. So you have a group of people that have been affected by it that are looking for change. And then you have a group of people that just are not aware of it. They're just not aware of it. Some companies, you know, if you got 50, 60 employees, they might not have a human resources person.
Right, right.
You know, and that's who I would encourage, you know, because we need a voice. The number of employees that we represent, the number of businesses we represent will help us be heard.
Well, all right, so here's my question for you. I have a training room that'll hold 40 people. I have a list of 16,000 business owners. So do you have information that would be helpful in attracting people to come?
Yes, we do.
All right. And we pick out a date and invite you and your attorney and other people to come down and speak?
Yes, that would be great.
Now, one of the concerns that I have is specifically this two-pronged approach. One is information, and the other is reform. Now, my belief at this point, from what you're telling me, is getting a lot of emotion involved is not particularly helpful to the cause.
No.
All right. So I'm wondering if there are a couple of different ways, a couple of different strategies. One is information for people to help them to become less vulnerable to a suit.
Yeah, even on our website, you know, we have an app that somebody can download on their phone to make sure they're hitting the wage an hour, you know.
And what's the website?
It's Cabia, CABIA.org.
CABIA.org.
Correct.
And there is an app?
Yeah, there's right on the homepage that somebody could download, and I think we have a presentation on there about the wage and hour. You know, we have information so they could try to avoid the lawsuits. And I'll tell you, the reason I wanted to do this is because when we got hit with our lawsuit, I had nowhere to turn. You know, there was nothing. There was nothing on the internet. There was no legislators, politicians that were aware of it. And quite frankly, it's a nightmare to go through it. Anybody that's been through it, it is an absolute nightmare. And I do not want to see anybody else go through it.
Right.
So if
right.
I can help one, two, three people avoid these lawsuits, you know, thank God. That's what I would say.
Well, it doesn't make it, going through a lawsuit like this doesn't necessarily make it better for the employees.
Not at all. And our employees have no flexible time now. We try not to let them work past 10 hours. There's no safety incentive. And let's just put it to you this way. So if we do give them a safety t-shirt this year, which we're going to, and we do give them a safety lunch this year, which we're going to, believe it or not, we have to take that amount of the t-shirt, the amount of the lunch, and we need to put it into their overtime rate and calculate it correctly so we don't get hit with another lawsuit.
Yeah, right.
Why, you know, how is that law protecting any employees?
I mean, that's the second step, right?
Correct.
Number one is recognizing what the law is and then doing whatever is necessary, standing on your head, right? Whatever is necessary to protect the company and the employees as well as the owners from lawsuits that are going to hurt. After we do that, then the second step is to examine those laws to see if they're actually achieving benefits for labor and benefits for owners.
Yeah, and I mean, some of those laws in there are from the 1930s and 1940s. I mean, it's a different world right now.
Absolutely.
It's a different world.
Absolutely.
The landscape has changed not only in the last 50 years, the last 30, 20 years, the last 10 years, 5 years. It's dramatically, dramatically different.
Now, my dream, it's a recurrent dream, and the dream is to have 30 or 40 business owners in the room and helping them to see exactly what the labor laws are, what the tax laws are, what you know, the Coastal Commission is doing, not to incite them, but to inform them so that they understand what is there.
Right.
And then at the end of that, to say, this is where we are as Californians. Obviously, you have a choice. The governor of Texas will take your call at any time. I grew up in Texas. I know he will. If that's your choice, here's the number. Call him.
Right.
If, on the other hand, you are like many of the people that I love and work with every day, we're not leaving California.
Correct.
This is where we live. This is where we have our being. This is what we love to do. That means then we can take the responsibility and the initiative to participate in the legislative process, in the conversation about legislation, about making these things work for all Californians.
Correct. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, moving a business isn't as easy as people think.
No.
Especially a manufacturing business.
And letting the governor of Texas tell you about how wonderful it's going to be is not always
right.
going to work out the way that he says it is.
And although Timely gets a call, we get a call once
of
a week
course
from different
you do.
States.
Of course.
All kind of different states.
Absolutely.
But, you know, again, the way I was raised and the way that I see things, That's running away from your problems.
Mm-hmm.
The state has serious problems, and if we all run away from them, it's not going to get better. And to give you just one other example, the state of New York is considering a PAGA law, mm-hmm. which would be identical to California.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? It's going to spread to other states. Somebody needs to say, this is it, enough's enough. You know, it's not going to get better. Unless we do something about it.
Well, it's not serving the best interests of Californians.
No. And you know, most business owners, you know, most businesses, they want to take care of their employees. They don't want to go find new employees. They don't want to go through, you know, all these different employees and training. And it's very expensive to train somebody. We want to do what's right. We want to keep the employee. We want them there. You know, if they didn't like Timely, they wouldn't be there for 37
right,
years.
Right,
right.
And what, now my experience working with the entrepreneurial operating system, helping companies grow and helping them to organize in such ways that they can actually move forward. What I've seen in many of the clients that I work with is you have a company that gets started and the founder or the founder and partners have responsibility for the whole company. They make all the decisions.
Right.
It comes to a point where the size of the company, the growth level of the company, and the complexity of the marketplace, and that includes political and legal parts, have grown that it's impossible for the founder or even the founder and his partners to make all those decisions in the best way possible.
Correct.
And that means we have to elevate and delegate. We have to find people who get where we're going as a company, who want to be there and are capable of doing that. And that means, I mean, we can certainly talk about it in terms of HR. I mean, how often do owners think that they can hire the best people?
Right.
Versus people who are professionals at hiring.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there comes a time when rewarding, paying for, providing professional management level people to do specific jobs, that there is no way that the founder or the owner or the president or the partners are capable of, because they don't have the experience, nor do they have the skill set.
Yeah.
And they probably don't want to.
Yeah.
And so that's a piece that I hear you talking about, is there's a big chunk here for many companies where they really don't have the knowledge about, number one, knowledge about the labor law, and number two, the experience in learning how to protect themselves from the effects of that law.
Absolutely. I mean, you're spot on with everything you just said. And that's what, the goal of our organization is, to try to help businesses out. Somebody needs to really, and not the type of organization where we hand you a certificate and we're taking pictures with all these politicians and handing out plaques for naming the city Indigenous Day. You know, we're concerned about the businesses.
Right,
we're the ones that thrive. We're the ones that create jobs. You know, we're the ones that make this economy what it is. And people need to respect that and understand that.
Well, if you were able to speak to business owners in Southern California, especially in Orange County, what would you say to them? What would you like them to do?
Well, I think join our organization.
How would they do
that? That's one thing. Go to our website, cabia.org, and you can join. But also be active in the membership. You know, talk and come to meetings and tell us your stories, because then we can get those into op-eds and we can share the story with everybody in the state of California.
Is there a fee for joining?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the fee?
$1,500 is the membership fee.
All right.
You know, and we've had other companies give us more money. They've helped out. They've seen how far we've gotten in the short amount of time.
Would it be helpful to have some of those people on the radio show here?
Sure. Sure. There's a lot of, you know, there's a gentleman that just got hit. He called me last night down in San Diego. He's got a brewery. Seems like a nice guy. Been in business 25 years. He had a cook that decided to say he wasn't getting his lunches and breaks on time. Cook worked for him for 3 weeks. And it sounds like prior to that, he did the same thing at another company.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you avoid these type of things? Mm-hmm. More people need to be aware of, it's a law that people are taking advantage of.
Well, you give me the names, we'll invite them to the show.
Sounds great.
Is that fair?
That sounds great.
And also, you and I can talk about having a seminar in our conference room.
Yeah, we would love to do that. We'd love to have the opportunity. Again, the first thing we need to do, it's going to take time to change laws.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're trying to change the laws, we want to educate so people don't end up in the same boat that Timely ended up in.
Sure, absolutely.
And that so many other businesses.
How many members would you say you have in Orange County now?
There's probably a good 30 members in Orange County.
Good.
So, you know, and it's just the stories that you hear, it's just so unfortunate.
Well, good.
And the way that it changes the culture of the company, it's really even worse. And it's taking away that spirit from the employee.
Oh, it's hurting Californians.
It's hurting California. It's becoming too bureaucratic.
Good. Well, certainly willing to do that for you. If people wanted to talk with you, how could they contact you?
Call my cell number, 818-823-7611. You can call me anytime.
Tell us your number again.
That's 818-823-7611.
Good. Well, it sounds to me like you've got a very clear road about what your purpose is for right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's this was something I never thought I would do 2 years ago. You know, this is something I never thought I would be involved with.
Right.
But I really do. I think the state of California is a great state.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great people here, you know, and we need to do something to turn things around when it comes to that, so business owners aren't feeling so persecuted anymore.
Sure, absolutely. And it's the people who like you and other people that I love to work with who have said, this is where we're going to live and die.
Right.
And we're going to make this work.
Right.
And that's what this radio show is about how businesses thrive in California.
Right.
So thanks a lot, Tom, for being with us today. This is another example of how Californians are learning how and business to thrive.